With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
All right, everybody, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Number 38, Bet Online. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and it is a Weekends with Swipa episode. It's been a little bit since we've been able to do a full live with you, Swipa. Good to see you, my guy. How are you doing?
I'm living, man. News, and more news. We are officially full swing in the NBA offseason. Draft is done. We haven't talked about that. We got to talk about some free agency stuff, trades. So. Oh, boy. Let's get it
is right. Plenty of things to get into. I'll get your belated takes on Daron Holmes and maybe some of the Nuggets bench stuff as well. But want to let everybody know that this podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at BetOnline. Your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, soccer, golf, right all the way up to the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to their casino, play some of their slots games, and get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% off free credit for a first deposit up to $250. Bet online, the game starts here. Okay, Swipa, this is going to be a fascinating offseason for Denver. It's already shaping up to be a fascinating offseason. Denver drafts Daron Holmes. They trade Reggie Jackson yesterday in what was basically a salary dump. I don't really see much of anything that accomplished other than that. I talked about this last night on the show. It was a very confusing move, and it seems like it's to free up time for Jalen Pickett. I don't know how great of a plan that is, but whether that's the plan or whether they're freeing something up for a free agent addition or a trade addition in the backcourt remains to be seen. We've got some things to talk about, and we were talking about this before the show. Denver's been in the rumor mill a lot lately, especially with the free agency of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope sort of heading over everything. It would be simple if the Nuggets were just going to be like, hey, we're going to re-sign KCP. We're going to bring him back. We're going to do what it takes. Doesn't necessarily feel like they're going to do that, but maybe trading Reggie Jackson is a sign that they're looking to bring him back, freeing up some cap space or some tax space below the second apron to try to get some stuff done. What did you think about the moves over the course of this past few days or so? Just your general impression for where the Nuggets are heading right now.
It's interesting times for sure, because after they got rid of Reggie Jackson, they gave up 3 second-round picks in order to do so, which I thought was very interesting. That means nobody wanted them at all. The fact that you couldn't just attach one, but three of them.
The other one, by the way, is that Tim Hardaway Jr. just got traded for three second-round picks as well, and he makes $16 million. So I'm wondering what that deal was. Like, what's the difference between Reggie Jackson's $5 million expiring money and Tim Hardaway Jr.'s expiring money? It didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, not only that, they got Quentin Grimes back.
Yeah, like, how did Denver not manage that deal instead?
And Tim Hardaway is just, we're just measuring money and player so versus each other. Tim Hardaway is a worse player at 17 than Reggie is at 5. And that was seen very clearly in the playoffs. So, I don't know, brother.
Weird shit,
brother. It's just a little interesting information. Again, Zeke Nagy still on the roster. And are they just going to have to attach with that first round pick in 2031? That's their only movable contract as of right now, it looks like. But is it really movable? How movable is it? Do people really want $8.8 million coming up in this next season? So the Reggie Jackson news, obviously NBA champion Reggie Jackson, thank you for everything that he did in Denver. Colorado kid himself deserves a lot of respect for that. You know, I don't think that the initial plan when Calvin Booth selected Jalen Pickett and re-signed Reggie Jackson to a 2-year. But my whole thing is, I don't think he planned for him to play that much. But why would you give him a player option on the second year? And again, let alone for $10 million over 2 years. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So for you to have to trade off of him in three picks, and then here we are now, and like, you know, I just don't – I'm not – If they walk away, Ryan, with just Jamal Murray and Jalen Pickett at the point guard position, I think that is a tremendous, tremendous oversight by Calvin Booth. But I also understand they're navigating the salary cap, navigating the luxury tax, navigating the aprons, both of them. So it's a lot of stuff to think about, but they have been in the news a lot, and they are clearly trying to upgrade their roster. They are clearly trying to see what exactly they get that can bite. So whether it's the Paul George rumors, apparently the Klay Thompson rumors, those are big fishes. Like, those are big swings. So it's not as if they're hiding their intent. They're trying to make serious moves to upgrade this roster, but we're going to find out real quickly what exactly those upgrades are going to look like.
Yeah, I'm very confused by some of those reports, by the way. And what Swipe is talking about, and sort of the instigation for this podcast that we wanted to do, was this report that came from noted reporters, Sam Amick and Anthony Slater. Like, Sam Amick, who I've met and talked to on several occasions, who knows who I am, and Anthony Slater, who I've also talked to and is very connected in the Bay, both at The Athletic. There were some things that were stated about the Denver Nuggets in that particular article, including about Paul George, as you mentioned. I'm going to read this out to people from this is a reputable source. This isn't like off the wall. Now, it could be old information, but this is stuff that was actually written. Quote, league sources say the Denver Nuggets, for example, had serious interest recently in the prospect of adding Paul George by way of a possible extended trade with the Clippers, if he chose to go that route. Yet, in addition to giving George the max deal he so desires, they also would have had to give up Michael Porter Jr., Zeke Nnaji, and a significant amount of draft capital. The Nuggets value their draft picks perhaps as much as any other contender in the league, and so their interest ended there, but that situation is informative for teams such as the Warriors, who would surely prefer to add George. This was mostly about the Golden State Warriors and sort of their pathway. But what a thing to throw into an article. As Swipe is now on a different thing. He's coming back eventually, but what a thing to throw into an article for. Oh yeah, by the way, Paul George for Michael Porter Jr., Zeke Nnaji, and a couple picks was discussed. Your initial thoughts on that aspect of things? Like, is that
be real, Ryan? If the deal was at the time, 2024 first round pick, 2031 first round pick, and 2 seconds with Michael Porter Jr. Zeke Nnaji for Paul George and Amir Coffey, would you have done that?
Yeah, I would have. I would have if I were Denver. I would have very seriously considered something like that. That's a very interesting move. Paul George is one of those guys that he's a better ball handler, better playmaker than somebody like a Michael Porter Jr. Doesn't have the longevity. He's at a different stage in his career for sure. Like, he's on the downward. Michael Porter, I think a lot of people expect to be on the upward still, or at least like at a certain level over the course of the next 5-6 years. But he does have injury concerns. And what we saw with Denver in the playoffs was that they had a lack of ball handling, a lack of creation at a playoff caliber level. And Paul George is, I think, like, he, Mikal Bridges, guys of that kind of tier, the perfect type of third option, or even like 2B next to a Jamal Murray, where those guys, I think, would be awesome next to a guy like Jokic. So yeah, with Denver kind of stuck where they are, that would be a deal I would have seriously considered.
Yeah, I think I would have done it, just given the fact that if the Nuggets are really trying to, they're having issues getting off of Porter's contract, if that is the case at all, and if they're concerned about his long-term health, then you know what? Paul George is getting a supermax, or a max rather, at 34 years old. It's not ideal, but Paul George on a max, He's a better ball handler, playmaker. He's a better offensive player and defensive player than Michael Porter Jr. He's not as good of a rebounder. Better playmaker, better passer. You would have in your starting lineup, Jokic, he can hold the ball and handle the ball. Murray can handle the ball. Gordon can handle the ball. And then PG can handle the ball. That would be stupendous. So I definitely probably would have done that, given the fact that I think that would have given you at least two elite seasons with this starting lineup with Paul George in it. And I think they would have been, I mean, they probably would have been clear cut the best team in the NBA if they would have made that move. Now, if they would have asked for Christian Brown or Peyton Watson, then that's where we're getting a little tricky there with that. But I mean, at this point, bro, it's just a matter of maximizing this Jokic window. And I'm curious to see what they're going to do, man, because this is a very peculiar situation. And as it stands right now, I think they need to get better. I don't think this can beat a team.
I firmly agree. And for what it's worth on that Paul George front, I did some asking around, and it sounds like it came from like the Clipper side of things. Like that was, they said no. It wasn't the Nuggets who were like I think the Nuggets would have been pretty happy with something like that, but seems like the Clippers, like for understandable reasons, didn't necessarily want to do that deal. But I mean, who knows? Like maybe this is something that gets revisited. I don't think that they could now do it unless they let KCP walk, so things get a little bit dicey again, and Denver doesn't have any more real trade assets other than that 2031 first round pick. So if there's a way for them to leverage something, then maybe. But they might have to include a Peyton Watson or a Julian Strother or a Christian Brown in that kind of deal now, because as we've talked about, Denver's got to understand that the players that they have under contract, the rookie contracts that they have, they have to be used as assets in these particular things, because Denver doesn't have any draft picks to move. So that's one aspect of this. The other thing that came from that article, by the way, I think I'll scroll real quickly down. Klay Thompson also mentioned pretty strongly in this, the Warriors are examining Paul George as an option. They're examining Klay Thompson. They know that he's been with the franchise for 13 years, and it seems like there's an end to that run in sight. Quote, a league source said Philadelphia has interest in Thompson. Quote, if the Nuggets lose free agent to be Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who has decided to decline his player option and enter the market, a league source said Denver has pegged Thompson as a possible replacement. Caldwell-Pope, as it were, is believed to be a strong possibility for Orlando. There are a handful of other rival teams also in play for Thompson, depending on his price tag. Now, this is a little bit different, and I tweeted earlier today, if Klay Thompson signs for the taxpayer MLE with the Denver Nuggets, I will wear a chicken costume on the next podcast. I will commit to doing that, because I do not think that Klay Thompson is going to sign for $5 million per year with the Denver Nuggets, and that's the level of flexibility that they have to make a deal like this. I don't think they have the money, unless they were to trade a Michael Porter Jr. or an Aaron Gordon or somebody like that, to free up salary space to replace a KCP with a Klay Thompson type. So you tell me, am I crazy? Am I not thinking enough about this particular deal? Like, could Klay Thompson conceivably take less money to come to a team like the Nuggets?
Not the MLE. No.
Yeah.
No. But sign and trade? Sure. I don't know what the rules are. I mean, obviously, I think a third team would be needed. I don't know if...
I could tell you.
Go ahead.
They would need to be below the first tax apron in order to do something like that. In order to do a sign and trade from a free agent that is not on their team, an unrestricted free agent, they would need to end, or like they could never, ever be above the first tax apron, the first luxury tax apron, which if I pull up my salary cap sheet here, Denver currently has $8.2 million in space if they wanted to do something like that. Maybe they could use their 2031 first-round pick to entice somebody to take Zeke Nagy, Maybe that's the way that they tried to do something like that. But they got to fill out the rest of their roster too with some minimum contracts. And I just don't see how that's possible at all. But who knows? Maybe I'm the crazy one.
Does Zeke Nagy have any value? If we're watching Jackson, I mean, we're watching Larry Nance Jr. get traded. And he has some picks attached to him. They got DeJounte Murray back for that.
Yeah.
Does he now, have any? Go ahead.
I think that that's more about a, like, I don't know what the years on Larry Nance's contract are. I would guess that he has one more year, maybe two. Zeke Nagy's got 4 years. And
well, Larry is also a better player. He's a more functional use player.
Right, he's now been like, he's been solid in the playoffs for them. He's been actually a pretty solid playoff player, somebody that they need to play, who can play a small ball five role. So there's a role in the league.
Yeah, so he has 2 years. So this coming up year, 10.3 and 11.2, it looks like. No, actually, just one year remaining, 11.2 remaining on his deal.
11.2 expiring contract. There is a value in that for any team that's looking to free up 2025 tax space. Obviously, a team that has Zeke Nagy on their roster will not be having.
Does Zeke get $8 million if he was an unrestricted free agent right now? Maybe it's
probably not. Like,
I mean, Jack Lawndale got it last year from Houston, so I guess there's always a team willing to do something. But
yeah, that's true.
But like, I mean, they didn't have to do 40. I don't know. Booth is signed. He's re-signed two players in this era.
Yeah.
Reggie and Zeke. And both of those were completely pointless contracts.
He has re-signed DeAndre Jordan.
Again, vibes. And he also said that he wanted to bring DJ and Justin back. He would like to bring them back.
Yeah. So we
for them
will,
to play over all their young players. So if this roster is Jalen Pickett, Julian Strother, Peyton Watson, Hunter Tyson, Justin Holiday, DeAndre Jordan, tell me your initial thoughts.
Add Christian Brown starting there as well.
All right. So let me do this. I'll do the whole roster. Okay. Jamal Murray, Christian Brown, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic, Jalen Pickett, and then having Peyton Watson, having Hunter Tyson, and then having Justin Holiday, Holmes, and DJ. How would you feel about that roster?
I would not feel any better than I did this past year, and I'd probably feel worse.
They would still win 55 games, though. It's these, yeah,
they
dumb
win
thing
games because they've got Jokic. And right. Like, he is an automatic, like, if the roster's healthy, then he's an automatic ticket to 50-plus wins. We've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you need solutions in the playoffs, and you need guys that you can trust in different situations, and that roster doesn't present a lot of solutions. It presents a lot of problems, and I think they would be pretty easily solvable in that case, and it's just about loading up on Jokic, loading up on Murray, forcing other people to beat you, and Denver doesn't really have anybody that can do that outside of Porter, unless he's being guarded by one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA in Jaden McDaniels. So it's tough, man. Like, they've got to figure it out. They have to be better. And I sent out that tweet earlier today. Do you think that the current roster can compete for a championship? And the overwhelming answer is no.
Well, they can. That's the thing. They will. The problem is it's just going to come down to this. They have one historically great player who's a generational floor raiser, and they have enough shot making around them and enough defenders to where it's like, oh, damn, like, they're punching everybody in the mouth. They're going to beat Boston and Boston again. They're gonna take down whoever in the first round. Like, but the issue is how viable is it to just ask Jalen Pickett, Julian Strother, Peyton Watson, and Holmes – and Justin Holiday and DJ to be the ones to fortify that the starting five if they need further assistance. Now, again, if they all played a bucket load by the playoffs, maybe. But that's the thing. Calvin Booth, if you sign Justin Holiday, he is going to play over Peyton and Julian at times. It's going to happen. So, yeah, man, I just think that there just needs to be some, you know, and, you know, we'll see if there's – they may not feel like they got to make any more trades or anything else like that, bro, but Holmes. But again, let me touch on Holmes. Holmes is a great player. I think he can be a great fit. He's a 6'10" wing. He was shot above average from three last year for Dayton, was shooting 43% at one point. He's a decent post-up player, great at ceiling, great switch defender, very athletic, great vertical spacer, great shot blocker. He is going to be one of the best defenders on the team from day one. Calvin wants to put him to play a four. He has the body to grow into playing a four. I think he's going to play more five right now. But great selection by the Nuggets. And I gave him an A- just for the draft grade.
Yeah, and I'm firmly with you. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to be good. And he has the potential to be a starter in the future next to Jokic. I think that there is something to that. And like, even if he doesn't become that, if he just becomes the sixth or seventh man for the Nuggets at his apex, that's still good enough. That's what you need from a guy that's drafted in the early to mid 20s. So that was the right move for Denver. Now the real question is whether you can add a starting shooting guard and fill out the rest of the roster with what it needs to have in order to actually be competitive. And well,
if Atlanta's tanking right now, getting rid of DeJounte, do you think Bogey would be more easily accessible?
No. And here's why. Because Denver dumped Reggie Jackson's salary in order to like get under and get away from like actually using that. They needed matching salary in order to do that. They needed matching salary to make that move. And I was very adamant about this, that look, if they were able to get one of those guys, then like a Bogdan Bogdanovic, then that'd be great. But Bogdan makes $17.2 million, and Denver, just by the skin of their teeth, could have done a Zeke Nnaji, Reggie Jackson, Hunter Tyson, and the 2031 first-round pick or something like that for Bogdan Bogdanovic. And they would have been able to get that. They would have been able to get it done, and I think it's a good deal for both sides. But now they can't do that because they don't have Reggie Jackson's money. So I don't think they can. I don't think they can make those kinds of moves. I think what Denver is likely to do, and we could talk about this on the other side, I think they're just likely to fill out the roster with a taxpayer MLE. If KCP walks, and if he comes back, they'll just fill it out with minimums, and that'll be what they do.
Great. Talk about that on the other side.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to chat about just that and maybe talk about some players that Denver could get. Maybe there's a surprise trade that they could potentially do. We'll discuss that as well. But first, I want to tell everybody about Number 38, the affiliate for Mile High Sports for Denver Stiffs, one of the best bars, vibe places in Denver, in the Rhino area. Get some good brunch food, get a fried chicken sandwich, get some good beers on tap, some brunch food. There's just a lot of great options. You've got indoor seating, outdoor seating, plenty of great places. Make sure to go check it out. Number 38 in the Rhino area, and let them know that you came from Mile High Sports. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll. And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Joined by my guy, Swipa, in this Weekends with Swipa episode. Okay, we've got some people in here, and we've got a question. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Reggie Jackson trade isn't official yet, correct? Could expand on that trade still. Yeah, I guess it's possible. I guess it's very possible that they could do that. Until it is finalized, then like we'll just have to see, but it would be nice. Like maybe they, if they were to lose somebody, like if they were to lose KCP, for example, could they expand that trade to include both Reggie and Zeke and then take back Vasemichic and Nick Richards? They're sending three second round picks already.
They would not get rid of Nick Richards in that deal. By the way, PJ Hall, Trey Alexander, two-way. And Trey Alexander especially, yo. It's definitely an option.
He looks good. He looks like a player. I can get behind that pick. That's a good addition from Calvin Booth. That's how the two-way is supposed to be used, for what it's worth. You get somebody who wants to come to your squad, who wants to be on your team. If you don't have a second-round pick, make them take a two-way. Mm-hmm. And Trey Alexander could be a guy that does help Denver in the future. Okay. Like I said,
are we depressed, Ryan?
Oh, go ahead.
Are we depressed? People are saying we're depressed. We're beside ourselves. You think we're depressed?
Blackburn and Swipa seem depressed. I don't know, man. Like, I'm always depressed, but like, no, like about this stuff, I have said from the beginning that I thought that there was a possibility that KCP could walk. Mm-hmm. I thought there was a possibility that they would decide to elevate Christian Brown. And I thought that what they would be doing right now is getting creative with how they do this stuff, how they make this happen. The fact is that they screwed themselves by using all of these picks to dump salary, to trade up in the draft, to flip-flop and move around and get the guys that you like, make sure to get Jalen Pickett and Hunter Tyson and Julian Strother and guys like that. And Denver doesn't have any picks to trade anymore. And so you can't make a move like Paul George for Michael Porter. You can't make that. Like, and I was critical last year at the draft when they did those things, because you see the lack of flexibility that Denver has. They committed to their roster, and then they found out that the roster might not be good enough.
Well, also, this has all been so much information. We didn't even mention Jamal Murray got the second largest contract in franchise history.
Yeah.
4 years, $209 million. And how would you rank, if you had to rank, I'm thinking about asset accumulation, based on value to other teams, how would you rank the Denver Nuggets starting five by trade value?
Jokic obviously won.
Can he rim protect?
Oh, wow. Man, if only he could jump on a curb.
You think they can get Chet Holmgren, J-Dub, and every pick possible from the Thunder for Jokic?
They could get everything but Shea. Every single thing.
No.
If the Thunder had an opportunity to trade their entire asset chest for Nikola Jokic and pair him with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, they would definitely do that.
Yeah.
So it's him. Aaron Gordon's now in an expiring contract, so I'm not sure if he is second or third on that list. He's on an expiring contract. He'll have a player option the next year. So I think that it's probably Murray still. And then KCP obviously doesn't have any value because he's on an expiring deal. Michael Porter's last, whatever that is. Like, it's probably Jokic, Murray, Gordon, Porter.
Yeah, that's tough, man. That's tough. You know, I think you're a championship team. You would like to have some pieces you could move around if need be to build around your stars, but it just feels like they're kind of stuck in a place. And so this is why they're like championship or bust kind of situation, because you work together better than anyone. But I think individually, just as a part, you know, it's like, okay, well, can we trade MPJ for... Well, do you think they could have got Pascal Siakam?
It's funny. They've gone through the gambit in terms of, or gamut, whatever the word is, in terms of trying to like balance what they have currently, like a really good, solid team that just won a championship, with the idea that, okay, we don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know what the next version of this team is. And so Calvin Booth's been trying to prepare for that. In the process, he's given up every pick that they own, and he's added these young rookie contracts that are very cheap with the hope that those guys continue to develop. The big issue is that, like, Porter, like, would they go get a Siakam? No, I don't think that they would have done it. I think they do it now, obviously, with the hindsight and is 2020, but I don't think they would have done it then.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a weird zone right now because they have to hit on their draft picks in order to make this team function the way it's being built. And I think next year, if they stayed as is, they would need to have Christian Brown, Peyton Watson and Holmes would all have to be certified like bucket getters, certified players, certified dogs. Otherwise, it would be just a nightmare.
It's not in a good place. Not in a very good place right now. And that's what scares a lot of Nuggets fans. And like you said, like they'll still win 55 games, 50 plus during the regular season because mm-hmm. that's just what they have.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it very difficult to believe that they can do much more than that deep into the playoffs unless somebody develops and surprises. Like, let's say Peyton Watson takes a big leap, then maybe this is a different conversation.
Well, if Peyton turns into like a sixth starter, then it's like, oh, damn. All right. Well, suddenly they're deep as crap.
Yeah.
You know, or if, like I said, maybe, I mean, this is, I don't think it's going to be Jalen Pickett. That's just me. Some people could be think different about that. So I want to be clear about that, that he definitely could be the one. Maybe it's like Trey Alexander is Andrew Nembhard all over again. Like, it's just, you know, that, like, damn, like he's coming in, he's ready to go. He's scoring buckets. He's facilitating. I think it's going to need to be around that for this all to work. Otherwise, it's going to be Jokic save us ball again.
Go ahead. Like, how many points per game do you think Christian Brown averages in a starting role?
9.
You know, KCP averaged 10.
Yeah.
So, like, how much worse of a defender do you think Christian Brown is?
He's a tier below, but he also needs to finish. He's a terrible finisher around the rim so far right now.
Yeah,
I think he needs to be finishing buckets. So
to be fair, there's memes about KCP in transition.
No, like, I know. But like, again, I think, you know, I think he needs to be a better finisher. He's going to have to be a good screen navigator, chaser. Again, KCP was literally locking up Steph Curry in every single opportunity they had to play each other. And again, the matchup the Nuggets have issues with, Ant, it's both explosive as crap and strong as crap. There is no other approximation for Anthony Edwards in the league. LeBron, they got dudes that are big. We can get with that. Kawhi, PG, we got plenty of dudes. De'Aaron Fox, here's KCP. You know, Devin Booker, here's Christian Brown. But, like, it's one person. So I think Christian can cover a lot of people, man, but he just doesn't have the same level of foot speed. But Christian's going to have to be – I'm talking about, like, he's going to have to be an absolute animal next year. But I will say something Christian could do, Christian could legitimately average probably 10-6 next year because he's a terrific guard rebounder.
Yeah, absolutely can. He's a better rebounder than KCP for sure. He's also there is some passing there. Like, he definitely sees the floor reasonably well. Like, I think they're probably equal as passers, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I just don't think that it's this massive drop-off that so many people seem to think.
Let me look.
But it just makes it more difficult with the rest of the bench if you are elevating the sixth guy to the fifth guy. And they also traded the other sixth guy in Reggie Jackson. So let me ask you this. They decided to draft Daron Holmes, to trade up to get him. Can they keep Zeke Nnaji on the roster?
No.
At the same, like just from a personality and like a,
dynamic
standpoint.
He has to man up and realize that you are but here's the thing. Holmes can play the four. If Zeke does his job, they both can play.
Yeah.
But really, Zeke, and again, I want to be clear about this. Zeke has had moments in the last 2 years where he looks like he's supposed to look. But it's just a matter of his health. If Zeke is healthy, and he did the Indiana Pacers game, I don't know if you remember this game, it was from the championship year, the Nuggets had 3 straight dunks. And back-to-back-to-back possessions. And it was Bruce Brown, it was Jamal, it was KCP, but then it was Zeke Nnaji switching out in defenders. And, like, he was just all over the place. Zeke has that in him. And so if you're telling me if the Nuggets ran a lineup of Zeke Nnaji, Holmes, and Peyton Watson, you're not scoring on them. Again, I know the spacing is crap, but that's what I'm saying. Zeke would have to take a leap as an offensive player. Peyton's going to have to take a leap as an offensive player.
Yeah.
This is their team.
Yeah.
So we're both like, ugh. But that's their team. That's what they're building. So they have to take leaps. It's just that simple.
That's true. And maybe this is like I've said this before, you gotta be like trial by fire for sure. Okay. So that is a per game measurement.
I know, but look at, it's also in the advance. Again, I don't, Stathead is just a reference. It's not an end all be all, But it's just the advanced stat and the efficiency all scream KCP. Just so I'm just saying, I don't. I'm just
go look at the per possession numbers. I actually, so here's the thing. I did that yesterday. I looked at that exact comparison yesterday because I was going to tweet something really malicious.
Oh, yesterday of all days, you were going to tweet something malicious. Was it a special day for you? What could have happened last night for Ryan Blackburn to tweet something malicious? Anybody guesses over here?
I went live during that thing. I didn't watch a single second, a single second of it. That's just a complete waste of my time. Oh, man. Oh God. That's so funny. Let me throw a couple trades at you. Let me throw a couple examples of things that Denver could do.
Yeah.
They could still do this Zeke Najee for Adosunmu kind of move that where they include their last pick.
Place!
Their only pick.
Place!
It'd be a great move, right? Like, you get a veteran guard, like an older young guard who can still be with the core, but is clearly somebody who can, like, do stuff for them on both ends of the floor and would be
responsible player. He's a special player.
Yeah, like I would be down for that for sure. If they were needing KCP back, they could still trade Michael Porter in a deal that not a lot of people are going to like, something like to the Sacramento Kings for Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter. I'm not sure if the Kings would do that. They'd probably want maybe some draft compensation.
Keegan and MPJ with Sabonis would be absolute flamethrowers.
Yeah.
That would be insanity. Yeah. But again, by the way, they'd be dumb not to do it. Do you know why?
Why?
Matter of fact, because they would have De'Aaron Fox, Keon Ellis, MPJ, Keegan, and Sabonis. And then on top on the bench, they would have Carter.
I got Malik Monk.
Malik Monk? Oh, bro, they would be a light show.
They'd be fun. And if you're Denver, then you kind of get out of this problem of having so many pricey contracts by cutting Michael Porter's salary into two different players. And I think that there's some justification for that because it gives them more flexibility for how they want to build their roster going forward. And you can re-sign KCP and give him the money that you need to give. So you've got like six starters in that case where you've got Murray, KCP, Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes, Aaron
Gordon. Then we could play the true Ryan Blackburn lineup. Jokic, Hunter Tyson, Christian Brown, Kevin Huerter, and then point guard not on the roster.
We need Gillespie back.
Probably.
You're going to get me killed. Like, it's going to be horrible.
I think Io, and again, you tell me if I'm tripping. I just don't think the Bulls are that competent. I think they would do it. I just have to believe they would do it.
And here's the thing. Like, if they're doing a rebuild and you've got a guy who is going to be an unrestricted free agent in a couple years and you don't plan on starting him, or you're planning on starting him at fucking small forward because you've got Josh Giddey and Kobe White, then like, is Ayo really going to want to be back there? Like, get out in front of it, make a move, get some value, and you bet on Denver's future in 7 years.
Right.
And like, I think there's something to that. And like, they could have somebody in Zeke Najee who's like a cheap contract for the next few years.
Ayo Dosunmu would be, again, he would be the ideal player. He would be my Bruce Brown of 2000. Yeah. He's my Bruce Brown of 23, be my 22. He's my Nikhil Walker of 23. And this is where we are. And I just think, you know, I've been right 3 straight years about this. And I know this is going to be the guy. And I'm going to be so angry when he ends up with like the Heat next year, because they're just going to be a throw in for something. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, Jimmy Butler, Io, and Bam, immovable forces.
Yeah. The other thing, there's another Chicago Bull that we may not like.
Let's say it on 3, 2, 1. So I'm going to do 3, 2, 1, say it. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yep.
3, 2, 1, Patrick
Williams. Zach LaVine. Who did you say?
Patrick Williams.
Oh, God, no. I mean, he'd be fine. Like, he'd be great, but he's a restricted free agent. There's no way that they could get him. That's just the logistics of that would be really tough. Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to go with the – here, let me paint this picture for you. Let me do something real quick. Okay. Denver has needed secondary ball handling. They need somebody who can riff off of what Murray and Jokic do. They need somebody who could help carry non-Jokic lineups. Zach LaVine's value is at the lowest it's been in a long time. But you're seeing all of these contracts being signed that are crazy. KCP's potentially going to get $25 million a year. If you're Denver, you let KCP go. You find a way to duck the second tax apron. What if they decided, hey, we're okay giving up Michael Porter in this deal. We're going to get more on-ball creation. We're going to get somebody who can carry a heavier load. We're going to pair Murray and Zach LaVine in the backcourt. We're going to start Peyton Watson to stay big, and we're going to have him be the on-ball ace defender like a Jaden McDaniels. Aaron Gordon plays next to him. You've got enough offense because you've got Jokic, Murray, and Zach LaVine, and you've got enough defense because you've got two dynamic defensive forwards. What does that do for you? Does it do anything for you?
So MPJ.
MPJ, Zeke Nnaji. Let's just say your 2031 first round pick for Zach LaVine.
And then you could, but here's the thing, you can also flip that. So I think there's a move after a move if it doesn't work. But Zach LaVine would be averaging 24-5-5 in this offense. And then people will be having a conversation about Jamal Murray. I know how this will work. I know, because I know Zach. Zach is a great player. So Zach, if Zach was a committed defender, then yeah, I think it would work. They would be dynamic offensively, for sure.
It would be tough. And I think that Zach would have to be in a different stage of his career where he's probably had his name dragged through the mud over the course of these last few years and probably not been super happy with the way that he's been discussed and as an albatross contract, things like that. But I can see it working. And the Nuggets have had interest in Zach LaVine before. That is a fact. That is not fiction. That is a fact. So I don't know, man. Something to think about if you're Denver, if you're looking at into losing KCP and you want to turn his shooting guard spot into a little bit more offense, I don't see it as that crazy. Now,
so Zach LaVine, the year prior, played 77 games. 24.8, 4.5 rebounds, 4 assists. He had a 58.8 effective field goal percentage. Shot 37.5% from 3. He basically was similarly on par with Jamal Murray in terms of like all his advanced stuff. So, yeah, I mean, they would be a better team. It's just a matter of can they make it work defensively enough? But Zach LaVine, granted, also, Vooch, Zach LaVine, and DeRozan led the number one clutch defense in the NBA.
Now, they got a lot of help.
They got a lot
of help from guys like Caruso and Adosumu and players of that nature for sure. But I agree with you. Like, it's possible for them to make it work. And
wait, what's his contract too, bro?
It's basically the same amount of money that Michael Porter and Zeke Nnaji make over the next 3 years.
So that's the thing. Could they get AO in that deal too? If they gave up Julian Strother?
I don't know how the money would work there, but if you could get AO and Zach LaVine and you're trading Julian Strother or somebody like that.
And to get off, because if they want to get off LaVine's contract, they're just that big on it because it has 4 years or whatever left on it.
It's got 3 years. It's the same length as Mike's. So I don't think that you can.
But it's 43, 46, 49 though.
Yeah, but Mike's is like 35, 38, 40.
And he's younger.
Okay, he's worse.
Not that much worse. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. When's the last time? So this, it's a philosophical thing because they could Giddy and Kobe could use Mike better than you could use Zach.
I agree.
And Julian Strother.
And I think the Jokic would be pretty happy using DHOs with Zach LaVine as long as he's like willing to make the next pass.
Look, this is where we are right now. I think this, but based on what I'm seeing from Calvin Booth, this it's all on the table. So yeah. I would not hate it.
Like Denver's working. They are, I don't think they're going to make a trade. I think that ultimately what they're going to do is KCP is probably going to walk. they're not going to make a deal that they're going to like, or teams are going to say no to the offers that they throw out there. And then they're going to sign somebody for the taxpayer MLE. Hopefully it's a guy like DeAnthony Melton, who's good enough that he could be a spot starter for you. And then they're going to sign minimums. That's what I expect to happen. But I've always been doing, like, this is my goal with this podcast, is I want to be able to prepare people just in case something like this were to happen, because I'm not trying to hype people up too much, but this is the kinds of conversations that the Nuggets are going through, the kinds of scenarios that they're doing. So I don't know. It's going to be fascinating, man.
Look, I'm the mindset that the Nuggets are going to make a move, because I don't think if KCP walks, they have, there is no reality they cannot do. I mean, they can, but it's going to look, by the time media day comes around, I'm going to have four loaded questions ready.
I bet you are.
Very loaded questions ready. What are your realistic expectations this year for this team?
Yeah. And it's a fair question. If you've in back-to-back years, let Bruce Brown go and let KCP go, two guys that were integral to your championship defense and overall formula. Like,
if they just would have had, but Bruce Brown really messed this up. Bruce could, I did the math. Bruce, if he signed at 7.7 and with a second year option, could have opted out, and they could have signed him, I think, to a 4 year, I think it was a 62.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Bruce, you would be so much happier. KCP would be back. I don't even think they would ask the question. They'd be like, we'll pay, whatever. Because yeah. They would have won last year.
He wouldn't have been traded to Toronto, that's for sure.
He wouldn't be held hostage in Toronto with Kelly Olynyk.
Dude, they are, they picked up that team option, and Masai Ujiri just did this, like, all right, let me get these guys on the phone now.
Who's going to end up with him, Dallas?
In Bruce Brown, you mean?
Yeah, not Dallas, actually, because they probably don't want to make that, spend that money on him. I'm trying to think of who would actually.
Yeah, they want to bring back Derrick Jones. I think that they are going to try to get a distressed star type, and you, or at least like take on some extra money and take on some picks.
Can the Bucks trade for him?
Yes, is what they do.
Can the Bucks trade for Bruce?
Could the Bucks trade for Bruce? Not really, because like you're giving up one of your top four in order to do that.
And he wouldn't work in Philly, I don't think. Not as well.
Probably not. I'm not sure who would do it. It's I actually don't know. Let's
at this point,
you need more spacing than that. Miami could probably justify it. Like, say they did. I mean, no, Hero's probably too valuable for them now.
They've been holding off on trading Hero for whatever reason.
Yeah. Kings.
Well, what about? They couldn't do a sign it. Somebody brought this up. I did think about this. I meant to ask you about this.
But sign it can't happen.
Yeah.
Not legal. Bruce makes too much money. The Nuggets can only sign, like, they can only trade for somebody that makes up to 14.7 million people. Mm-hmm. So you wanna take a look and do the sign and trade thing, then that's fine with me. But you gotta give me back somebody that's actually legal. Although nobody really knows the rules, I'm doing my best. Like, I had to tell a whole bunch of people that Denver's not getting Klay Thompson because of the rules, and everybody's like, why not? So it was tough. All right. I think we should be done. We've gone way over what we were shooting for. Got any final takeaways?
Yeah. Make a trade. I'll be back. I'll be on tomorrow. Y'all, Locked On Nuggets, Saturday afternoon, probably like around 1 or 2, actually your time, probably 12 your time. I'll have some more to say about some of this stuff, but right now I'm just staring into the blank.
It's pretty nerve-wracking. I'm going to say that.
Staring into the void as I speak to Ryan Blackner, and that's let me do it. That's his subconscious. Tell Calvin Booth to please trade for Ayo Dosunmu, please. Tell Calvin Booth that I said, listen, this is your conscience speaking. If Jimmy Butler wants to make coffee in Colorado, we have a lot of natural coffee spots in Colorado, and this could be a great place to restart his business. And Jimmy Butler would be a tremendous fit. And who would enjoy the Miami life more than Michael Porter Jr.? Imagine the tans. Imagine the tans. That's all I'm going to say. Just imagine the tans.
Interesting. everybody, that is going to do it for this episode of Weekends with Swipos. Good to have you back, my guy. We've been talking, obviously, but like we'll make sure to continue doing Weekends with Swipe episodes over the course of this offseason. Going to be a lot of fun. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure to go check out Locked On Nuggets with Swipe tomorrow. And make sure to tune it into Mile High Sports. I've been writing a ton, trying to put out the best content I possibly can for you. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button on the way out. We will talk to you guys very soon.